Chapter 8, The Surrogate. On a personal note, this is a difficult episode for me, as I wish that I could have done this where I live, here in the United Kingdom. However, with the legal situation and the challenges around surrogacy within the UK at the time, I was lucky enough to be able to go to the United States to create my family. In the US, I had a dedicated coordinator at the surrogacy agency that told me it would normally take about 8 months to receive a surrogate profile. To my surprise, 6 weeks later, a surrogate profile popped into my inbox, filling me with a lot of emotions. Of course, most of them were happy feelings, and I would be lying if I didn't mention that I was also anxious. As advertising to find a surrogate in the UK is illegal, I was worried about how they had found someone so quickly. I had been expecting a longer wait, and so receiving this profile a lot sooner than the estimated 8 months meant that a lot of things were going through my mind. Mainly, had they sent through the first profile they could, or had they curated the match? The profile contained high-level information about her and her family, as well as insight into why she wanted to become a surrogate. The one thing that caught my attention and made me really like her profile was that she had a friend who had been a surrogate to help a couple have a family and thought that it was an amazing thing to do. It was a beautiful moment, as after reading her profile, I was filled with excitement, and it was such a wonderful feeling as I could already imagine holding my babies. I was glad and excited that working with an agency included a video call for us to get to know each other. Something that would have made me happier was if the agency had been on the call to moderate our conversation, as that way I would have been less nervous asking questions. I didn't want to ask anything disrespectful, as I did not want to scare her away or make her uncomfortable, and yet I did not want to seem disinterested by avoiding questions out of fear of messing up the match. Now that I think about it, I don't know if this was the agency's protocol. As we both needed to approve each other, would a moderator manipulate the call and remove the intimacy? Or were they letting us have an uninfluenced conversation on a genuine level? I was nervous, as to this point, it was all still a paperwork exercise. And then the minute her face came on the call, I felt relieved. She was so smiley and had a lovely persona that shone through the screen, which just made me understand what an amazing human being she was to even consider carrying someone else's babies. An hour after our call, I got an email from the agency saying that she loved our conversation and that she was thrilled to be our surrogate. Like egg donors, surrogates need to be medically screened. And this is where the agency stepped in again to work with the IVF clinic. Even though the agency is in Boston, the clinic in Connecticut, and the surrogate in Phoenix, they arranged all the logistics for her to fly to the clinic for a one-day in-person visit. This visit involved a full physical examination, drug, alcohol, and blood tests, and checking her uterus to make sure that everything was optimal for a pregnancy. It felt great to have the IVF clinic in my corner. This level of detail in the medical screening filled me with the confidence that the clinic was looking out for me and acting in our best interests. Although the screening sounds very invasive, it can empower people about their own health. For example, my surrogate did not know that she had an elevated thyroid level, which she could then control with medications to keep herself healthy. With the clinic visit over and all the medical screening done, she flew home. And 2 days later, the agency sent me an email confirming that she had passed the rigorous testing. At this point, it is necessary to sign a contract with your surrogate. Since there are different ways to find a lawyer to do this, for example, your agency can provide you with one, or you can use the same one you used for your egg donor, we will have a whole episode with a lawyer to expand on this topic and to help you simplify the decision-making process. Once the legal part was finished, she then started to get ready for the embryo transfer. The clinic did a great job on coaching her as to what to do, as she was doing this at home. She had to give herself an injection every day of a hormone that helped to create a healthy uterus lining to support the embryo when it was transferred. She was mentally supported by the IVF clinic, as they checked in with her every week to see how she was doing on an emotional level, and she was physically supported by a pre-approved local doctor who checked how her uterus lining was growing. After finishing a month of treatment, the agency arranged for her to fly to the IVF clinic 2 days before the embryo transfer. Three questions to ask. Number one, are you mentally prepared for a surrogate profile to come into your inbox any day after you sign up? Number two, have you got some questions that you would like to ask your surrogate? Number three, will you fly to the clinic to meet the surrogate for the embryo transfer? If you enjoyed this episode and would like to learn more about IVF and surrogacy, then please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, please share and follow our social media handle at IVF Daddies. We are here to answer any questions and to guide you through this very personal process.